Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. Well, here's what we have for you this hour. I'm going to start by talking with Lieutenant Colonel and Dr. Lou Gaston about his career. Then the gents who run the Fifth Third Bank's Military Resource Group will join us, and we'll review the movie of the month with Diane Raver. Of course, we'll conclude with our military history and our self-defense report. So it's a pleasure to welcome retired Army Dr. Lieutenant Colonel Lou Gaston. Lou had a really different medical experience in the Army, one well worth hearing about. So welcome, Lou. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, and happy to be here.
Lou, I think you started your time in Mother Army as an enlisted guy. Do I remember that correctly?
That's correct. Started Fort Jackson 1969 through 72. At that time, I was an X-ray tech and a medic. I was based at Jackson, Fort Sam, Fort Bragg, and then at West Point.
Okay, so you finished up at West Point, which I did too. You know, what the heck? But that wasn't the end of your military service. You became a PA and a doctor of chiropractic. Do I remember that right?
That's correct. I came out of IETS in 72 and went to Alderson Broaddus College in their PA programs. I think I was in the sixth class at the time, and a lot of the medics coming off of active duty, particularly the SF medics, were going into those programs. And so I was able to get into that program, and then that was sort of a hiatus for me with the military, and then graduated in 76, went to Michigan and joined the Michigan National Guard as a PA running the battalion aid stations.
Okay. I understand PAs, and I've worked with them a lot, particularly in the Army, but also right now my family doc's a PA. I also have a chiropractor, but I've never had one that were both. How does that work?
Very interesting. I still keep my licenses. I still do a little practicing, and I'm one of the few chiropractors in Pennsylvania with a DEA narcotics license. So it's a little bit, a little atypical, but to be honest with you, I find that one complements the other. One career complements the other. So kind of coalesce the two together and come up with a product that has worked pretty well.
Well, I believe it because as a guy who's, the only thing I know about medics is I got my first aid merit badge as a Boy Scout. But I know that when one part of me hurts, it usually affects something else. Chiropractors do a lot to keep me pain-free. On the other hand, docs, PAs do things to deal with issues. I see it totally mixed. I guess the only challenge is that they deal with so many different things. How do you maintain proficiency in both? But I guess if you're interested, you do. Am I reading this right?
Yes. When you look at the osteopathic physicians, it's somewhat similar because they do both. I look at it as the best of both worlds, as a sort of, again, a coalescence of the two together, being complementary for the best outcome for the patient. You know, some patients need a combination of allopathic medicine and chiropractic. And so the key is what's going to work? What's the optimum treatment for this person? And I think if you go down too far down one track, if you say strictly chiropractic, that's problematic. If it's strictly medicine, that's problematic. So that's my take. I'm sort of in the middle. And, you know, with the treatment of the patient, what's going to maximize their recovery is really put the two together and hopefully come up with a good solution.
That makes real sense to me. There have been a number of times when I needed both. I got both, but not the same visit. And there are some, as I'm sure you know, in each field that don't really want to give a lot of credit to the other field. And that's nonsense. The holistic approach to medicine makes real sense to me. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Dr. Lou Gaston. Lou, you must have had some interesting experiences being both on active duty.
Yes, I will tell you. I was deployed to Iraq in 2004. And this was in a PA position. I was in charge of the post-deployment health assessments at that time for the country. I worked with multinational corps, Iraq. I was stationed in Baghdad. But I decided that really, for me, what's the best that I can offer our fellow warriors? And I said, well, maybe I'll just do both. And I took my treatment table with me over to Baghdad. I carried that thing down to Fort Bliss for my SRP, for the Soldier Readiness Platform. I lugged it, all those thousands of miles overseas. And it turned out to be, it was well worth the effort because I was able to really have a pretty significant impact on a lot of the warriors there. You know, the warfighters, first of all, our body armor was very heavy. And, you know, from a anatomic, physiologic perspective, the gear is very counter to the way our bodies were designed. So this was a nice way to provide some relief for some of the discomfort that they experienced. And of course, as you well know, the older warriors, they have a long list of issues, injuries, and so forth that they carry with them every day. I just wanted to alleviate some of that. That was all. That was my intent. And I did some medicine along the way too. So, but I said on the way home, there's no way I'm carrying that table back. I packaged it up and I said, ship it. And I don't care when the hell it gets there. I don't care. I'm done with it. But it was a very, very rewarding experience. And I treated everybody from commanding generals to PFCs, you know, so it was really a wonderful experience for me. And my only regret is that I wish I would have done more.
You know, when you make a bold move like that and it really works, it really feels good professionally, personally. And when you see people benefiting from it, how much better can it get?
Well, you know what, I think I kind of get a sense that's why we were put on this earth. You know, to we talk about battle buddies. What's that about? It's just taking care of your fellow man, your combat buddy. So it's really basic fundamental humanism. That's what we're supposed to do. And so I did it to the best of my abilities. I wasn't totally happy. I felt I could have done more, should have done more, but I think that we're never really truly satisfied when we feel we still have a little left to give.
You know, that's true. Did you have any problems with military, either medical or non-medical chain of command people who didn't like you doing one thing when you were officially something else? You were officially a PA, but did you have any problems with that? Did you have to fight through that at all?
Funny you should mention that. You know, I have found, and I think it's not just with my situation, but I think in many situations, when you're doing certain things that I'm not saying that I'm beyond anybody else, but when you do things that are maybe a higher level, a lot of people resent that. A lot of people, their ego, they start tripping over their egos, particularly people in command positions, and it's not necessarily for the betterment of the troops. And so I did have I had some issues both here at home when I was in the PA guard as well as in Baghdad. But what happened was when the generals over there found out what my rather unique skills were, they would call the commander, and he would not appreciate that they were coming to me. And so it got to the point where they just bypassed and they just came straight to me. So I was all over treating commanding generals, again, all the way down to PFC. So, and not just, it was Air Force, Marines, some Navy people. I mean, I just treated everybody. I didn't care. So, but you're right. It's the humanistic part that gets involved. People keep tripping over their egos and it really makes it difficult for everybody else.
Brother, you are so right. I'm sure you've experienced that in other ways. Lou, thank you. I wish we had more time. We're out of time. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation. Thank you for what you did then, for what you're doing now. I'm glad we're friends.
Well, you're my newfound friend, and I have truly enjoyed this. I wishing you the best, and kudos back to you as a distinguished warrior. So I look forward to perhaps another chat.
Yes, we certainly have to.
Part two.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's time to run hard for a couple of miles. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care. We're leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted. Our key to success? You. we bring your voice to our nation's leaders so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity. Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show Sean Murphy and his co-chair, Josh Postma. Sean is the managing director of the Fifth Third Bank's Military Resource Group in our community. Welcome, Sean.
Thank you, Danny. Thanks for your service, and thanks for having us on today.
Hey, Josh, thank you. Welcome aboard, too, bro.
No, thank you so much. It's an honor to be a part of your show.
Sean, I know you're not a vet, yet you chair this group. This military service must be a part of your family, right?
It is. My father served in the United States Marine Corps. He had served several tours in Vietnam. He was awarded the Purple Heart. He passed in 2001. Anytime I get to volunteer and help veterans or military, I kind of feel he's watching and is proud. So it's an honor to be able to do this.
You know, we do want to honor our parents as best we can. Josh, what's your story?
Very similar to Sean. My father was a veteran as well. He enlisted right out of high school into the Army, as you know, my uncles and then my grandparents, grandpa served as well. So just like Sean, anytime I can honor them and other veterans and help out where I can, love to do that. So,
well, there's a key point here that you guys are making without stating it, and that's that veterans groups really include the family, because the family's also served. So When we talk about veterans help and that sort of thing, we're really talking about the military veteran family, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not just those who serve, but the wife or the husband, the kids, you know, it encompasses so much more than the actual individual. And you don't have to be a veteran to support a veteran. I mean, it's just helping out your community and helping out your fellow humans. So it's just whatever we can do to improve someone's situation, we'll do that.
That makes sense. I know that when I deployed to combat, my wife, she sure served. She didn't know what was going on, and she stood there with me. That's true. As I understand it, your group has about 70 members and is active in community efforts. And I think that your group is sort of located, we're in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's sort of a West Michigan group. It's not a single bank building, but it's not the whole country either in your group, right? Your group is regional?
Correct, Danny. Fifth Third Bank recognizes the importance of supporting people in our communities that we serve. The West Michigan Military BRG group specifically focuses on ways that we can support military and veterans. Our specific group here in Grand Rapids, we support about the West Michigan area. We have members that go close to Kalamazoo. We have some that are further up north, but throughout Fifth Third's footprint, they have military business resource groups. So there's a group in Ohio, for example, and in the Carolinas. And so where there's Fifth Third Bank, they have Fifth Third military business resource groups.
That makes sense.
These groups are, in kind of to speak to what Josh said earlier, and to join a Fifth Third Military Business Resource Group, any employee can join Fifth Third Military Business Resource Group. Our group has some of our members are veterans. Some of our members are not veterans. They have family that are veterans. And all of our members are extremely passionate about serving our military and veterans how we can.
So it sounds like the criteria is you have to be a patriot.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have members that join really not even knowing really what to expect. And they start getting plugged in and they start volunteering and they start talking with different veterans or spouses of veterans. And you can see that patriotism grow, you know, that they didn't even know that they even had, you know. So it's a fun opportunity. You can be as involved as you want. You don't have to do every single event. You can do one event a year if that's all you can do. But we just ask that you come with a volunteering heart and just do what you can.
That sounds awesome. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Sean Murphy and Josh Postma about Fifth Third Bank's Military Resource Group. Okay, guys, let's just talk about your group, since that's just what you can talk about. Give me some examples of some things your group has done in our community recently or is doing now, so we have some idea of what help looks like.
We're big supporters of the Grand Rapids Home for Veterans. We have done various drives over the years. Some of their items that are frequently requested are Hershey bars, K-cups, jerky treats, those kind of things. We do drives here, and we'll do collections, and we will take them to the home. A lot of people didn't realize during COVID, when a staff member or anybody tested positive, they went into a lockdown. So the veterans are in their room all day. We would make cards to try and lift their spirits and morale. We would take them treats. We would get books and activities. Our campus really showed up in force. I was down there every week dropping off things. One thing else we do is we do a military historic museum where a group of veterans here, the West Michigan Roundtable Society, come in and they set up a museum in our conference room. It takes up two full conference rooms. They have items dating back from the Revolutionary War to present day, and they set up. This year, we got veterans from the home, now that they're able to travel, came out in bus. We gave them a security escort in by our security team here. They got a standing ovation when they came in, and they got to tour the museum and see all the uniforms and artifacts. It was really a great thing. And another thing we do is we try to get our kids involved. And Josh can tell you a little bit about what we do over at Chapel Hill.
So at Chapel Hill, you know, a military cemetery where for Memorial Day, you bring your family, bring your kids, you put flags at the tombstones of the the veterans. I brought my two daughters and my wife, not knowing what a 13-year-old and 11-year-old is going to really think of it, you know, and we did it. And it was an amazing time. And on the way home, my one daughter just said, you know, Dad, I'm really glad we did that. Can we do it again? And that's what it's all about, is obviously supporting our veterans, but showing the younger generation of, yeah, you don't necessarily have to serve, but you still can, if that makes sense. You know, I mean, you find a way to get plugged in, and it was a great time. Another thing that we do here in West Michigan is the Heart of West Michigan United Way has an event called Operation United. And that's where people can sponsor a veteran or a spouse of a veteran who might be disabled or might be elderly, where they can't keep up with their homes, whether it's inside, outside, landscaping, painting, things of that nature. And we get a group of 20 some volunteers with the bank where we went to a house and we spent all day there and just turned their landscaping around. We painted a garage and so on. And Operation United does between 15 and 20 homes a year. And this is our fourth year that we've done it. And it's one of the bigger events that we do. And from a selfish standpoint, I think we get more out of it than the actual recipient who lives in the home. It's the joy that they get from seeing us there. It just brightens your day. It's just an amazing event. And
that sounds absolutely awesome. And I love the fact that you involve your kids in it, because we absolutely have to raise this into the next generation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And clearly the community is better off for this. This is awesome. Couple of questions before we run out of time. How can listeners across the nation plug into Fifth Third Bank, whether it's in your area or somewhere else, if they have an idea or they want to assist or just need some help? How do they plug in? How do they do that?
They can always email Josh or myself. You know, it's Sean, S-E-A-N, dot Murphy, M-U-R-P-H-Y, at 53.com.
Okay, and you can plug them in wherever they are located, as long as there's a Fifth Third Bank around, right?
Correct.
Speaking of that, does Fifth Third Bank have any special benefits for veterans or active duty people who are serving? Since you're obviously doing this, I'm betting they have some other bennies for vets.
They do. Fifth Third offers military members and veterans opportunity to open a Fifth Third Momentum Checking Account, is what it's called. With that, they get no monthly service charge. You can get your paycheck up to 2 days early without a fee. Fifth Third also gives them extra time to make deposits. That way you can avoid any overdraft fees. And they give special VA home rates and online pay and 10 free non-Fifth Third ATM transactions a month as our way of thanking them for their service.
Thank you for sharing that. That's awesome. Sean, thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you. I really appreciate your being with us.
Denny, thank you for having Josh and I. It's an honor to be on your program. We again thank you for your service, and we thank all our military men and women who serve for their service and their families.
Josh, thank you, man. I appreciate your being with us.
No, absolutely. Again, it's an honor, and anyone who's listening, feel free to reach out to us. We'll be more than happy to do what we can to get them plugged in. Like Sean said, we just thank you all for your service.
Thank you, gents. Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, Diane Raver will review the movie of the month, and we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm, twice, then take a break, but stay in the area. I'll be right back.
HelpVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net. Never forget, never forgotten.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And now it's time to review the movie of the month with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Welcome back, Diane. Glad to have my team member with me again.
Thank you, Denny. And as always, this is an honor and a privilege to share what we do at the Garden State Film Festival with your audience.
Hey, we work together so well. Diane, I can see why you're so involved with the Garden State Film Festival. The films you send us are so interesting and thoughtful. They're amazing. And you get to deal with many, many more than just the ones I see.
Right. That's cool. Just so you're aware, we get over 1,000 submissions every single year. So, I'm a little bit crazy because I love them. I'm addicted to watching them. And you can see what a great joy it is for me to cull out some of the very best ones.
And I'll reinforce what you just said. I think you're more than a little bit crazy.
There you go.
Well, this month's show is The Silent Child. It's quite a story. I have a brother-in-law who's deaf and who teaches American Sign Language. So I have a bit of understanding of living with deaf people. And it really can be pretty easy once you just adopt to it. So tell us your thoughts about this movie.
Well, again, I think it's more than just about being a deaf child. It's about acceptance and involvement in whatever the situation is in your life. In this particular case, it was a deaf girl, and the person that only person that was making an effort towards her, you know, her progress in becoming able to live in society was her teacher. And it was just a little wake up call in my mind to being aware of adapting to be helpful to people or to make a difference.
And that's particularly true if that person's in your family.
Yes.
I mean, goodness gracious. Okay. Well, here's some thoughts from the viewers about this movie. Started off, a lady riding a bike along a country road in the winter comes to a nice house. Yeah, that You don't know what that is until it starts and happens. The family seems happy, interactive, and wealthy. There are Mercedes cars outside. So this is not a poor family. One small child is deaf. It takes a minute. It took me a minute to sort that out, but that was clearly the message. And the lady writing up turns out to be a teacher for the deaf child. Yep. And the family seems to see the deaf child as a pain, as a problem. Yeah, I saw that all the way through, too. Did you see that?
And that was the point of, you know, being aware of, well, that's compassion and grace. You know what I mean? That's something we need more of in this world.
Well, and I can't even imagine just ignoring, putting down, not wanting to help in every way possible a family member, much less certainly friends and people in society, but a family member? Wow.
It does happen, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the child seems to only want to watch television. And obviously...
Well, that's all she knew up until she got the teacher. They just stuck her in front of the TV, you know, and she was pretty much non-responsive.
Well, yeah. Why would a child even know to be responsive if nobody really cared about her?
Well, exactly.
So the teacher sits in front of her and smiles and starts interacting, takes her outside for walks, feeding the ducks, swimming, stuff like that. That must have been an exciting day or series of days for that young child, because I got a feeling that never happened before.
No, that was obvious.
And then the teacher is successful in teaching some sign language, and the child likes her and begins to communicate. Yeah, I mean, that's what she was there for, but she obviously was good at it too, because if you'd never been exposed to sign language and somebody shows up and smiles at you and starts waving their hands in front of you, that person better know how to teach, and particularly a young child. But obviously this teacher did know how to teach and took the time to do it. So they got a good teacher. Whoever it was that hired her picked the right person, right? The teacher is successful in teaching some sign language, and the child clearly likes her and is communicating somewhat. And now I relate to that, because with my deaf brother-in-law, I've been trying to learn for a decade or more American Sign Language, and the problem is I only see him once a year. So I learn a little, and then I don't use it for 11 months. So it's not the easiest thing to learn, but once you do learn some of these things, you can communicate, and it does work.
Well, and the technology has made a big difference. Now there's a lot of people that communicate via their phones with texting and such. You know what I mean?
Oh,
so,
yeah. Uh-huh.
So that's been a major breakthrough for Americans with disabilities. So,
you know, through all this, the family seems to ignore the progress and isn't willing to learn sign language or anything. And when the teacher asks if the school will be able to handle sign language, that doesn't go anywhere either, because the family doesn't want to learn sign language and they want the child to learn how to read lips. And the teacher explains at some point she probably can, but she can't right now. It's one thing, and it's too much at one time, and it gets her fired.
That was disheartening.
But that does show where the family was coming from. And then the teacher goes to the school to see the child, and through the gate they communicate, and it's over. You know, I know from my experience with my brother-in-law, he's been putting up with my sister for like 30 years now. He can communicate, and we can communicate. It takes a little adapting, but we get together as a family. We're a family. So it can be done, but it takes a commitment on the part of everybody around them to be reasonable, be helpful. I mean, if I had lost my leg and you needed to open doors for me, you wouldn't open doors because I'd be a pain. I mean, this is crazy, isn't it?
Right. But again, the purpose of our film of the month is to thinking And I think it brings up the whole disability for instance, in our organization, there's a whole training we go through about, you know, what's the correct way to interact with people with a disability. And
sure.
I think that awareness, let us just have awareness. And I think we've accomplished our mission.
Yes, ma'am. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. We're talking with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. And the film festival is coming up soon. This is February, and it's in March, isn't it?
It is. It's bearing down on me. The schedule is posted, and we're all in person this year. So any of you near Asbury Park or Cranford, New Jersey, we would love to see you.
And I would suspect that you are slightly busy now, too.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
And this is just something that's just too good not to participate in if you can get there. And the information, I guess it's available on
GSFF.org is the website.
Okay. Diane, thank you. Thank you for being a great member of the team. Thank you for being a good friend. Thank you for constantly bringing up movies that make us think, make us interact, make us, well, that was the whole idea, wasn't it?
Yes,
we wanted to challenge people to think about things and consider things. Thank you, Diane. God bless
you. Thank you, Denny.
Until next month.
Thank you.
Troops, if you're a veteran having trouble with getting your disability approved by the VA, contact Barry Law. You reach them at ptsdlawyers.com. That's ptsdlawyers.com. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 60 this time? I do want your ranger ready. Then stand at ease.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at PatriotFoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off PatriotFoods.com. 10% off promo code FREEDOM and shop today.
Nearly 30% of veterans have disabilities caused by military service. At Barry Law, we fight to make sure that every veteran receives full compensation for their injuries. Our team of attorneys, veterans, and former VA employees have helped veterans recover over $100 million in back pay from inadequate VA decisions. For a free consultation, call 888-883-2483.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I really welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. What's the first comment, Skip?
Well, Colonel, Army vet Bill Harper said, "Good interview with General Petty. It's great that people are trying to bring back values to our military. It should focus on winning wars."
I totally agree, Bill. That's why we have a military.
And Army daughter Michelle really appreciated your funny comments about the way we mishandled the Chinese balloon.
Thanks, Michelle. I'm not sure we learned any lessons from that event. Now we shoot down things that we can't identify that couldn't be enemy. It's an interesting world.
Colonel, I think you're going to get more opportunity for humor.
I got a funny feeling there'll be a lot more. And now it's time for military history. Take us there, Skip. What's the first one?
Well, Colonel, on 27 February 1776, during the Revolutionary War, in the early morning hours, Commander Richard Caswell led 1,000 Patriot troops in the successful Battle of Moore's Creek over 1,600 British Loyalists. It would go down in history as the first American victory in the first organized campaign of the Revolutionary War. Responding to North Carolina Royal Governor Josiah Martin, British Colonel Donald MacLeod began marching 1,600 Loyalists from Cross Creek, North Carolina, towards the coast, where they were supposed to rendezvous with other Loyalists and Redcoats at Brunswick, North Carolina. When Commander Caswell and the Patriots arrived at Moore's Creek Bridge ahead of the British Loyalists, Caswell positioned his troops in the woods on either side of the bridge, awaiting the British with cannons and muskets at the ready. The British learned of the Patriot troops at Moore's Creek in advance, but expecting only a small force, decided to advance across the bridge to attack. The British Loyalists shouted, "King George and broadswords," as they advanced across the creek. They were swiftly cut down by a barrage of Patriot musket and cannon fire. The British Loyalists quickly surrendered, giving the Patriots their first victory of the Revolutionary War. The victory aborted British plans to land a force at Brunswick, North Carolina, and ended British authority in the state. Within 2 months, on 12 April 1776, North Carolina became the first state to vote in favor of independence from Britain.
And a lot of people don't know that story. That's why we just had it. On the 1st of March, 1912, Captain Albert Berry made the first parachute jump from an aeroplane at Jefferson Barracks, Missouri. Captain Berry had a 36-foot parachute packed into a metal case beneath the fuselage. The parachute had a trapeze bar for him to hold onto as he jumped and descended to the ground. That's not quite as sophisticated as what I had when I jumped.
Well, Rangers lead the way, right, Colonel?
In this case, we let him lead.
Okay. On 3 March 1931, President Herbert Hoover signed a congressional act making the Star-Spangled Banner our nation's official national anthem. On 14 September 1814, Francis Scott Key composed the lyrics to the Star-Spangled Banner after witnessing the massive overnight British bombardment of Fort McHenry in Maryland during the War of 1812. Key, an American lawyer, watched the siege while under detainment on a British ship and penned the famous words after observing with awe that Fort McHenry's flag survived the 1800 bomb assault. After circulating as a handbill, the patriotic lyrics were published in a Baltimore newspaper on 20 September 1814. Key's words were later set to music. Throughout the 19th century, the Star-Spangled Banner was regarded as the national anthem by most branches of our armed forces and others, but it was not until 1916 and the signing of an executive order by President Woodrow Wilson that it was formally designated as such. In March 1931, Congress passed an act confirming Wilson's presidential order, and on March 3, President Hoover signed it into law.
And it's our national anthem. And on the 1st of March, 1942, during World War II, U-656 became the first German submarine to be sunk by naval air. The attack was carried out by Ensign William Trepundi, piloting a Hudson bomber with Patrol Squadron 82. 2 weeks later, VP-82 pilot Donald Mason sank U-503 southeast of Virginia Rocks. And the Coast Guard is doing their thing.
And on 1 March 1954, the U.S. performed an atmospheric nuclear test at Bikini Island. The Japanese ship number 5, Fukuyura Maru, was trolling for tuna off the Bikini Atoll in the Pacific. 11 crew members died in the half century since the exposure, at least 6 of them from liver cancer. Between 1946 and 1958, the U.S. conducted 66 nuclear tests at Bikini as part of Operation Crossroads. In 1955, the U.S. gave Japan $2 million in compensation.
So we took care of that, but they never did anything to us for Pearl Harbor. It's all history now, and we're friends. I'm glad we're friends.
Let bygones be bygones.
Also on the 1st of March, 1954, baseball great Ted Williams fractured his collarbone in his first game of spring training. This after flying 39 combat missions without injury in the Korean War.
And on 28 February 1991, during the first Gulf War, Allied and Iraqi forces suspended their attacks as Iraq pledged to accept all UN resolutions concerning Kuwait. Tariq Aziz announced Iraq's acceptance of all relevant UN Security Council resolutions.
Saddam Hussein called on his troops to cease fire. The ground war lasted 100 hours. Of course, Saddam lied and followed few of the conditions for his surrender.
And on 28 February 1994, in the first military action in the 45-year history of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, U.S. fighter planes shot down four Serbian warplanes engaged in a bombing mission in violation of Bosnia's no-fly zone. Later, on 20 December 1995, NATO began the mass deployment of 60,000 troops to enforce the Daytona Peace Accords, signed in Paris by leaders of the former Yugoslavia on December 14th. The NATO troops took over from a UN peacekeeping force that had failed to end the fighting since its deployment in early 1992, although the UN troops had proved crucial in the distribution of humanitarian aid to impoverished population in Bosnia. The NATO force, with its U.S. support and focused aim of enforcing the Daytona Agreement, proved more than successful in maintaining the peace in that war-torn region. And that's military history for today. Now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, a car burglar in Tennessee found himself begging for help from area residents after his intended victim returned gunfire. The unidentified homeowner said he received a call from a neighbor saying there were several people standing outside his residence. When he went outside, he saw two men in his driveway and two more men sitting in a white car in the street. The two in the driveway made a run for it, and when they spotted the homeowner, but one suspect fired a gun at the homeowner. The homeowner was struck in the ankle, but managed to return fire on the suspects. One of the burglars walked around the neighborhood knocking on doors asking for help. He was heard on his cell phone yelling, "Y'all come back. You left me. Come pick me up." The burglar was charged with two counts of burglary of a vehicle and vandalism.
Colonel, I just think that's precious. Don't you? There's no honor among thieves. They left the poor guy. But hey, Colonel, that's the way it goes.
War is hell sometimes.
Yes. This altercation gives us an excellent opportunity to discuss the wisdom of leaving the safety of your home to investigate what's going on outside. There are certainly times when you have to leave your home, but for the most part, it's not a good idea for the following reasons. First, this man got a phone call telling him that several strangers were lurking around his house. So he unlocked his door and went outside to, well, to do what exactly? Trust me, there's nothing you can say to a gang of criminals that will make the situation better. They already know that you don't want them on your property, so yelling at them, reasoning with them, or trying to engage them in any way just isn't going to end well. Second, what's the point of having locks on your doors and windows, alarm systems, surveillance cameras, motion sensor lighting, if you're just going to turn it all off and go outside to play with the burglars? That makes no sense whatsoever. Inside your home, you are protected, at least until they break down the door. Third, once you exit your home, you lose significant legal advantages. But if they break into your home, then you are more readily available to use of force to protect yourself via castle doctrine laws. So, what should this homeowner should have done in this scenario? The answer is simple, although less exciting and glamorous. Just make sure all your doors are locked, get your firearm, and stage yourself in a defensive position and call 911 to get help on the way. The police will then come and do the dangerous part for you. While I applaud this homeowner for his bravery, I can't give him high marks for sound tactics. He got in a gunfight outside his home and was shot in the foot. But, quite frankly, it could have just as easily been a shot to the head. In my opinion, this man got off lucky, and next time, he should just stay inside and call the police.
You know, that makes sense. Okay, our movie of the month is The Silent Child. We just reviewed it. You can still go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link. You can watch it for free for a while. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, Dr. William Makis will discuss the serious danger we're experiencing from the experimental COVID shots. People are really getting serious and dying, you know. Then veteran Jeff Gray will discuss being arrested for peaceful protesting. And attorney Aaron Jensen will talk about our Second Amendment. And Christine Myron will present Blue Star Service Dogs. Our book, Front Lines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Front Lines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information that you will not get anywhere else on the Front Lines of Freedom. Dismissed.